I guess this morning we have the lost on our heart. As we, in our thoughts this morning, we'll be taking a reading lesson this out of the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 6, just a few verses here out of the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. I'm going to start reading in verse 5 through 8. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is our reading lesson this morning. And as we look at this, most of us here this morning know the story of Noah and the ark, and we understand what happened with that Noah was instructed how to build the ark, and that he worked on this ark, and that he built this, and he gathered all the animals in two by two, and when the rain started, that the door was closed by God on the ark, and that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible tells us that everything that was left here on this earth that was not in the ark of safety, everything, every creeping thing, every animal, every man, woman, boy, and girl that was alive at that time on the earth, they perished and they died because of the sins of this earth. The Bible says in this first verse that I read, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You think about us and what we are today, how man is, has anything changed? Has the heart of man changed? The Bible tells us some things about the heart of man, and it tells us that we're all sinners, that we all sin and come short of the glory of God, that we're all sinners. We can look back over in the beginning over here and a little bit further back in this third chapter of the book of Genesis, and we can find where it tells about the sin that occurred in the very beginning in the garden with Adam and what transgressed from that. The sin of all mankind that fell upon all mankind. And we can read over just a little bit further and we can find the first murder that occurred in the Bible where Cain slew Abel. And we can go through and we can see just within a few pages of God's Word here how things went down fast, didn't it? Things went down fast. And God looked at man and the Bible says that it repented. He was sorry that he made mankind because when God looks down, he looks down at the heart. He looks down at the heart of man. He's looking at our hearts this morning. He knows this morning if we came here to serve him, if we love him. He knows our hearts this morning because he's looking at our hearts. He's not looking at our outward appearances. You and I this morning, we look at outward appearances and we take things for granted, like emotions and words and things like that. We take these things for granted and that's all we have to go on. But God this morning is looking at the heart. He's looking at the heart of everyone and that's what he goes to. And he says here that the heart was only evil continually. For those that have not been saved by God's grace, that's what your heart is. Your heart is only evil continually. Do you know there's not good in your heart far as the Lord is concerned? Far as the Lord is concerned, when He looks down, because He doesn't see that blood applied. He doesn't see that blood applied of Jesus. The Bible speaks of that Jesus Christ being a propitiation for the sins. Basically, when it says that, it speaks of what part that Jesus plays for those that believe upon Him, for those that trust in Him with all their heart, for those that have repented of their sins and trusted in Him to the saving of their soul. Jesus, His righteousness is the covering for the sins of this world. Jesus, we can find out here, and I believe that we can see how that there was something here that was represented that was going to be, that made the people safe. There was, the Bible tells us that there was eight that were saved. There were eight people that were saved because they were in the ark of safety. This morning, if you're here today and lost, the only way that you're going to be safe is that you are in Jesus. That you are covered by the blood of Jesus this morning is the way that you're going to be saved. That when God looks down and when He looks down at your heart, that He doesn't see that sin, that He doesn't see that evil, but that He sees the blood of Jesus. He sees that propitiation. He sees Jesus standing there saying that He is a believer in me, that He trusted in me, and that He has been saved. See, it's the righteousness of Jesus that covers us all this morning. It's not with works of righteousness which we have done, but it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ that has appeased the wrath of God. That He looks down and, you know, He went on to say, you can read through here in a few of these chapters here, 6, 7, and 8. And God said that He wasn't going to destroy the earth again anymore. He wasn't going to do that anymore, and that He was going to put a bow in the sky for a sign to allow all mankind to know and understand that He wasn't going to destroy this world anymore by water. That wasn't going to be the means of destruction anymore. We find over here in the book of, I believe it's 2 Peter, as we look and in the book of 2 Peter, in the second chapter, it says, "For God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." We see here in this wasn't exactly the verses that I was thinking of, but we see here in this reading that God didn't even spare the angels that sinned. He didn't even spare the angels that sinned. But He cast them down to hell. You know all those people that died in the flood? That was not saved? Today is in a devil's hell? Did you know all the ones that will die when the Lord comes back, when the Bible tells of the Lord coming back and it raining fire and brimstone out of the sky, all those that will die that have never believed in Jesus and repented of their sins and trusted in Him until the saving of their soul, that you know hell will be their home? All those that die of a natural death while they walk here on this earth, whether they get sick and die of a sickness or an illness, or whether they have a car wreck or whatever the situation might be. All those that died without the Lord will find themselves, they'll open their eyes into a devil's hell this morning. As I looked upon, like I said, this week, at that funeral, and I looked out and I saw so many people there that, as far as I knew, were lost and undone, that didn't know God. I guess it stirred my heart. It scared me for their sake. It scared me for their sake. See, because I know what this Bible teaches is true. I know what this Bible says is right. I know that I have something in my heart that's going to take me to heaven. And I know all those that have never repented and trusted in Jesus do not have that in their heart. And hell is going to be their home one of these days. And hell. Can you imagine being able to sense and realize worms eating them? And the reference of worms is maggots. You know how maggots get on things and they destroy the flesh and they eat the flesh away from the bones. Well, can you imagine an eternity of that? Can you imagine a flame and a fire so hot, but it doesn't consume you? Yeah. It doesn't consume you. A flame that is, what we think of a flame as being bright, but it's complete and utter darkness. Bible says it'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. It'll be souls down there crying out to God and saying, "Lord, help me, Lord, get me out." But it won't happen. Because you have made your choice. You made your choice. You was given the trial. No doubt, in that 120 years that he was building that ark, was crying out to his neighbors and his friends, "The Lord is coming. He's going to destroy this earth by rain." Wow, what a crazy thing they thought of him. What a crazy thing. It's never rained. We don't even know what rain is. But it happened. The Bible tells us that the Lord is coming back again one of these days. We don't know when. It may not be in any of our lifetimes, but it doesn't make any difference. We've only been given a span of time to get ready for it. We've only been given the time that our life is. And we don't even know how long that is. But we've been given a little bit of time here on this earth. God looked down and loved and had mercy and compassion for this world. Sent His Son Jesus Christ down here to die on
seated at the right hand of the Father right now, being in the mediator position between man and God, as He looks down here this morning, and He looks down at the hearts of man this morning, knowing that we're undeserving. We're undeserving sinners, that we didn't deserve any of this, but God loved us anyway. He wanted all to come to repentance. He wanted us to be saved. He wanted us to serve Him. In the third chapter of the second period, it says, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. People today, you know, you can tell them about Jesus. You can invite them to come to church, and they have excuse after excuse after excuse. Why not? They put off. They put it off because they don't think the Lord is coming back. They don't think He's coming back. They don't believe this. For they willingly are ignorant, the Bible says here, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, speaking about the flood, whereby the world that was being overflowed with water perished. But the heaven and earth which are now by the same word are kept in store. They're reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. See, God is preserving. He's preserving this world right now. He's preserving it unto a day of judgment. There's a day of judgment that's coming. Don't look off into the future way down yonder somewhere and think, well, it's coming, it ain't gotten here yet. Don't think about that. Think about that. The problem you need to think about is when it isn't getting here. Am I ready for when it comes? Hardest thing in the world for me to do is to try to stand and preach a funeral to somebody that I don't know their soul condition. Because that's a sad thing. It's a sad thing to stand there and try on with the memory of this person in their life. And the only thing that matters, the only thing that really counts when you come right down to it at the end, they don't have a testimony of a time and place where the Lord saved their soul. Oh, they might have done a lot of good things and had a lot of money and done all this and done all that, but if you ain't been saved by God's grace, then it was all for naught. It was all a waste. Beloved, be not ignorant of one thing, that the day of the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. Lord doesn't look down upon this old earth and the timetable that we do. With Him, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. See, one of these days, everything here on this old earth is going to burn off. It's going to burn off. There ain't going to be anything left. Nothing. Not going to be anything left. That's just the beginning of the fire. That's just the beginning of the heat. That's just the beginning of the suffering for all those that have not been saved by God's grace. That's just the beginning.
That's just the start of it. If you're here and alive, when the Lord comes back, that's just the beginning. And the problem is, when you realize that, when you understand that, it's going to be too late. The Bible tells us that, you know, if the rich man or if the strong man of the house had known the thief was going to come in and break in, then he'd have prepared for it. And that's just paraphrasing. That's not word for word. But that's just saying, you know, if a sinner had known that all that was going to happen to them when they died without the Lord, had they known that, then they would have prepared themselves for it. Then they would have listened. They would have believed. They would have tried to understand. They would have sought God that they might have been saved. Rather than being having everything taken from them. It's an important thing that you're saved this morning. It's the most important thing. I want you to know that if you're here and lost this morning, you may not be under conviction yet. But you need to hear this, because salvation is the most important thing you'll ever get in your life. I don't want to come someday to preach your funeral and you not have a testimony. That's a hard thing to even think about, ain't it? Ain't that awful to think about? As you look upon somebody's body that has died, and all it is a body, it's just a shell. As you look upon that, and you wonder, are they in heaven? Are they in hell? Are they with Jesus, or are they suffering in fire and torment? It's awful to think about, but it's a reality. It's reality. It's important, the most important thing. There's a lot more that I could say this morning, but this is, these few thoughts have. These are basically thoughts that's been on my heart since Wednesday, I guess. These few words, it was about Noah. I didn't know what the Lord wanted it, what been using for him, but I got faith in God that He can take whatever and use it. I got faith in Him. Sinner friend, do you have faith in the Lord this morning? Do you trust in the Lord? Do you believe that Jesus died for you? That He loves you, but that you're a sinner and that you need to seek Him to be saved? That you need to beg for forgiveness of your sins? We live in a world today that nobody wants to beg. Nobody wants to bow down. Nobody wants to shed a tear. And that ain't a requirement of it. Shedding tears is not even a requirement of it. But you gotta get your heart right. And anybody that I ever saw, I know what kind of a mess I was in when I got myself down to the point that I'd done everything that I could do, and I knew I was lost and doomed for a devil's hell. I knew it. And I just turned it all over to God and saved my soul. I knew what kind of condition I was in. I was helpless and worthless. I was the lowest of the low and the bottom of the bottom. And then
me from that. He drug me right out of that. And I know that it's not even a possibility anymore. Satan has lost that battle. He'll never get me. Hell will never be my home. I know that. So, friend, you can know that this morning. You can know that. And if the Lord's dealing with your heart this morning, if He's knocking over your heart, you need to bow down. You need to seek Him today. You need to bow down and seek Him till you find Him this morning. He's here this morning. He wants to save your soul. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart this morning. Seek God that you might be found. Real birthday, you have a song. Have an invitation. If you're here this morning, you're lost. And you know that you're lost. You need to seek the Lord. If you know you're lost until you've been saved, you're lost. There had nothing changed. There ain't a thing in the world changed. Seek the Lord this morning that you might be found.
Let's all stand
and
turn to page number 119 and sing the first and the last verse.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing fire? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace, His power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood?
Pray for the sweet message that it'll that the Lord can use it. Be a thought or a word on anyone's life. If not, all that can and will, please come back tonight and continue on in our study of the church covenant. Would this be slow to take offense? If you want to learn more about being slow to take offense, come back tonight. That's something good for everybody to know about. Be slow to take offense. Also, while I'm thinking about it, just for the church to think about up until conference, the quartet that Dylan's been singing with called out would like to come over and sing for us on the 14th of April in the afternoon. If the church, if it's all right with the church, I'm just throwing this out there for everybody to think about, pray about. And then also, April 21st, if nothing comes up, where Brother Don Curtis called us and asked to go make a tape up at the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour. So these are a couple of things. And if we go up to the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour on the 21st, if you can, make arrangements where you can be there. As many people as can be there, be good. Because that broadcast goes out, and there's a lot of people sees it, and I just think it's important for the church to make a good showing if they can be there at all. So, anything else on anyone's heart before we dismiss? Absolutely. I'm getting ready for it right now. Brother Lang, you dismiss us for word prayer.
Our home and place that we can both get us back together in the next